Grace and peace, friends and family. Welcome to another episode of the Pink Girl Teaches podcast. I'm your host, Joy, and I am the founder of Pink Girl Teaches. I'm a certified life coach, and my expertise is in narcissistic abuse recovery. No, I don't work with narcissists. I work with the victims of narcissistic abuse. I help them transition out of the fog, which is the fear, obligation, and guilt that is experienced when you are in a relationship with a narcissist. I have a YouTube channel where I talk about this. I create videos on TikTok, and I also do one-on-one coaching along with workshops. I've written a book. I create journals. Your girl wears many hats. But on this episode today, I'm excited about this episode, and I hope that you are too. We are talking about avoiding drama and pursuing purpose. Pastor Rosalind Gaines, who is a licensed social worker who has served as a professional leader in the mental health field for over 20 years, is joining me today. She is passionate about helping and bringing healing to people who have been through traumatic and stressful experiences. She's known for helping individuals develop healthy relationships, healthy perceptions of themselves, so they can know themselves as a complete and whole individual. Pastor Rosalind Gaines also serves alongside her husband, Pastor Benjamin Gaines, as the executive pastor of Yahweh Transitional Church. And this is located in Elkton, Maryland. You are in for a treat. Rosalind is a sister in the Lord, and her husband is a brother in the Lord. Fantastic people. Love them dearly. But let's get right into today's conversation. So welcome to this episode of the Pink Girl Teaches podcast. Like I told you earlier, I have an awesome guest, and I'm so excited about being able to have a conversation with Pastor Rosalind Gaines. Welcome to tonight's episode, Ms. Gaines.
Well, Pastor, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad that, you know, you are part of this conversation, and I think it's perfect, you know, avoiding drama and pursuing purpose. What does that mean to you?
Well, just really just taking all of the toxic situations, circumstances out of your life and really focusing on what you were created to be, the purpose that you was created to fulfill, and not allowing any outside distractions to take you away from that.
Okay, so you hit it right on the nail. You know, many people will say things like, well, I'm dating with a purpose, and ultimately for them, the purpose is to get married. But then they haven't discovered their own intent, you know, their own individual purpose. How do you think that that can be detrimental to the well-being of a healthy marriage when you go in without even a clue of who you are? Or maybe not who you are, but you don't know why you exist. Is there such a thing as dating with the purpose, and the purpose is just marriage?
I think it's very important for people to know exactly who they are. That's very important, because a lot of times in marriage, if you're not careful, you can get caught up in the purpose of your spouse and then kind of lose your identity, you know, in the process. So I believe that when the Father brings two people together, there is a purpose for that marriage, but then there's also individual purposes that he has for the husband and the wife. And you have to know that going in, because if you do not have knowledge of that going in, then you can get lost in the purpose of your spouse and kind of lose your identity. So that, I think that's very important.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because, you know, I think it can be a pitfall in marriage. I think that was one of the mistakes I did in my marriage, that I didn't know who I was going in, but then I kind of found myself in the midst of it. And I'm looking at him like, who are you and how do you fit in my life? And, you know, nothing made sense at one point. And so it was like, how do you try to grow into your purpose with somebody who is like the complete opposite?
Yeah, and that's the biggest problem, because a lot of times, if you already know your purpose, and you already know what it is that you are supposed to be doing, then it will even change who you connect with. You know, because a lot of times what happens is the conflict comes after the marriage, because a lot of times people don't know who they are going into the marriage. And so they wind up connecting with somebody who really has nothing, you know, because I believe as individuals, we have a purpose, and then the Lord brings the individual purposes together to fulfill one purpose. Together, right? So if I don't know what my purpose is, then, you know, there's a chance that I will connect with somebody who is not really who the Father destined for me to be with. So we got to really know who we are before we even approach marriage, or even think about marriage, or even, make the decision of choosing who we're going to be with. Because sometimes we over, and I hope I'm not talking too much, but sometimes we over spiritualize marriage, and we think that, we get with a person and just, everything is just going to fall down from heaven. And, we don't have a responsibility here on earth. And we do have a responsibility. The Lord has given us the freedom to choose, our mates and who we're going to be with. And we have a responsibility in our walk as singles to begin to tap in and identify who we are, so that we know who would be that perfect mate for us, that we can fulfill purpose, you know.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. You know what? I'm enjoying this already, because like you're saying some things, right? And you're married and I'm the single one here. Mm-hmm. And I'm like hearing some things that you're saying. And I want to be sure that, you know, not just myself, but other single people who are going to be listening to this, mm-hmm. get to hear the perspective of a married woman, right? Yes. And I think it's important, because like, I think, you know, what's so popular now is that people want to go and sit down and listen to what men have to say about marriage, about relationships, about womanhood. But I think, yes, what men have to say, there's a place for it. But I think as women, like, I think I relate more to another woman telling me, because I think, you know, if this is a woman who has a level of maturity, not necessarily as far as age or even time in a marriage, but maturity in the Lord, then mm-hmm. I can learn something from her.
Yes.
And so yeah. One thing that you said is like, you know, who the Father destined us to be with. So sis, are you trying to tell me that there's somebody that he would have for you to be with? Like for me, like other singles, is there somebody that is his preference for us?
I believe so. I remember, you know, first of all, I am married right now, but I was single until I was 42. So I was single a substantial amount of time in my walk with Christ. So I wanted to say that. And I remember I was dating someone who was a believer, who I believe had a relationship with God and was saved. But I remember I was, you know, dating this person. You know, we were considering marriage, and I'll never forget, because the person lived in another state, and we were driving. And as we were driving, we were going over a bridge, and I heard the Lord clear to me say, he is not the one, because where I want to take you, he can't go. He won't go. And I mean, I heard him like I'm speaking to you now. And I didn't understand it then, because I grew up in a traditional apostolic church where women weren't allowed to minister. We really didn't have a voice in the church other than prayer, you know, cooking, you know, chicken dinners and things like that. And this individual was brought up in the same denomination as I. Now, at that point, because I was still, you know, coming up, you know, in that organization. So at that point, I did not know the Lord was bringing me to a place of ministry. I did not know that I would preach. I did not know that I would teach. That was the farthest thing from my mind, because I was already groomed, you know, being a part of this organization, that would not be my portion, because it wasn't, you know, what, you know, the Father wanted women to do. So here I am, not even knowing where God called me, where he was getting ready to take me. And he spoke to me clearly and told me, where I'm getting ready to take you, this young man is not willing to go. Now, this young man's father was a prominent bishop in the organization. They were staples. They were staples in the organization. And so the chances of him, changing his mindset was very slim. And the father knew that. And so I didn't really come into an understanding of what he said to me in that car. Until later, years later in my life, as God began to move me into where he had destined for me to go. So I believe that, yes, like I said, you know, sometimes we over spiritualize things, but I believe that there is a level where the Father will choose who you will be with, and he will give you choices of people that fall in alignment with where he's going to take you. So yeah,
thank you for sharing that. That was interesting. You know, a lot of times, you know, people say, well, we have free will and God's not going to impose his will on us, but you know. And at one point I used to think like that, but then, you know, you spend time and you get to know him even more and go deeper in that relationship. Then I began to understand what it means when he says that he gives us the desires of our hearts, because at that point, like, and I'm looking like in the things that I thought were interesting in a man or attractive, they don't even turn me on anymore. I can't be moved by those things anymore. And, you know, you have the other voices that will tell you, no, you're over-spiritualizing it, believing that God would have somebody for you, you know, and a unique person for you or type of person for you. But I believe it's all tied to purpose, like you've mentioned.
It's all tied to purpose. And, you know, you hear people say, I got my list together. You know, I want my husband, the Lord is going to give me the desires of my heart. I want my husband to be 6'3". I want him to be, you know, the perfect weight, and he has to be dark, and, you know, and no.
You know how I began to think about those lists, and I do believe that we must have, you know, we must have a list so it helps us focus, but not on what a person looks like.
Right.
I think, you know, that might be a bit shallow, but I began to view these things as familiar spirits. You want a particular type of man and you've dated this kind of man all your life, but you always had the same results. Why?
And this is the thing. Like you said, the list is good because it kind of narrows things in. But what the Father is focused on is not, what a person looks like. It is not the person's name. And what I mean by that, because sometimes, you know, back in the days, they would marry people according to their name because the name held clout. But, I never forget, I went to a wedding and they had asked me to just speak. And as I was speaking, the Lord began to reveal to me, he said, I'm bringing marriages together to fulfill purpose. And so we are going to begin to see people come together, and you're going to look at them and say, how did these two come together? What did he see in her? What did she see in him? Because it's going to be so much about purpose that in the natural eye, it's going to look like, wow, I don't know how this happened. But in the spirit, it's the connection in the spirit. And so, you know, as single women, as you guys are, in the process of preparing for your husband, you have to consider purpose first. You have to consider purpose. And like you quoted the scripture, that the Lord will give us the desires of our hearts, and the desires of our heart, if we are truly connected to him, will align with what he wants us to be and what he desires to fulfill with us. And the Lord cares about what we care about. The Father cares about what we care about. You know, and so he will, you know, I don't think he's going to give us something that, you know, someone that, you know, we can't absolutely take and like, oh God, okay, I'm fulfilling purpose, but I don't want to look at this man. There is going to be balance, but the weight of it is going to be purpose. The weight of it is going to be purpose.
Oh, you said, you bringing up points here. You know, you said that sometimes people have the wrong perspective on what these relationships would be. And I think that's where they begin to entertain drama. And when mm-hmm. I say drama, you're entertaining the wrong type of people. And that can only lead to drama and chaos. You know, going back to the list and the particular type of person, you know, I think that's doing things backwards. Like, listen, I was the queen of backwards at one point, but, you know, from a evolved state, I guess, looking at it as, you know what, purpose being the main thing, and the purpose really is to do the will of God. And so whatever it is that honors him being, you know, the head of your life, the Lord, your Lord and Savior, then you come into alignment with it. But then some people will say like, oh man, you know, I bet looking at him, he's not even going to satisfy me sexually, and God doesn't care about me, and I can't trust God with that part of my life. But, you know, it's kind of like sometimes I wonder, and, you know, maybe I'm like you too much. I wonder, but we trust God with everything. You trust mm-hmm. him for a new job. You trust him to sustain your health. You trust him for finances. And then you think that God won't be mindful to give you somebody that you can connect with intimately and enjoy that. And I'm just like, how does that make sense?
Well, on the intimacy part, and this is what I'm saying, where we kind of over-spiritualize things. Like, if my husband, if I want my husband to please me, I'm going to show him how in the natural. I'm not going to pray to God and say, God, show my husband how to please me. Right. I'm going to say, honey, this is what turns me on. A, B, and C. I like foreplay. So in order for you to get me to the place where I'm ready to truly open up, you gotta give me a little bit of foreplay. You gotta have those conversations in the natural. And that's how you get your mate to bring you to a place where you are pleased sexually. It's not coming from heaven. He's going to give us the wisdom now how to approach it so that, you know, our spouses won't be offended or feel as though, you know, we're saying that they're no good for us. He's going to give us wisdom on how to approach it. But the actual request and the desire is going to come from us. And we got to be able to have those talks. And, you know, in marriage, you know, you're not going to be speaking in tongues all the time. You got to deal with some stuff in the natural. And if you want your husband to please you, you got to have those talks. And you even got to have those talks before marriage. And it's not a sin to have those talks before marriage. Because if you have a husband, I'm just going to be open because, you know, we have to have these type of conversations. If you have a husband that doesn't believe in oral sex, I'm going to get in trouble because, you know, some people think we're only supposed to do it missionary style. Oh, Lord. Okay. But amen. I hope I ain't mess up your.
No.
But you know what I'm saying? But let's just talk about it. Okay. Yeah. So if you have a husband that believes in oral sex and you don't, and you don't have that conversation before you enter into the covenant relationship, then you're going to have problems. Yeah. And that's something that you have to talk about. So you got to have those hard conversations before marriage, because that helps you make the decision. And you got to have them after marriage. And so if you want to be pleased by your husband, I would say singles, just have that conversation and let them know what makes you happy in bed.
Thank you for, you know, bringing that up and just opening up and sharing that with us. And I think it's so important because, like you were saying, we over-spiritualize marriage, especially when some singles, when we want this husband and we want to serve God. And, you know, I've seen people get to the point where they're even scared to have fun because I might step out of line. And then this promise that God has for me, because I heard that he has a kingdom spouse for me, right? But if I laugh too hard and if I go out and hang out with these people, I'm not going to get that promise. And, you know, they live a rigid life. And mm-hmm. I don't think that's how life is supposed to be.
No, it's not. It's not supposed to be that way. They're supposed to be balanced. The Father, you know, desires us to have balance. Yes, he wants us to have a prayer life, a healthy prayer life, a healthy life of worship, a healthy life of biblical study. But then there's a time that, you know, the Bible says that there's a time to dance, a time to mourn, you know, so there's a time that we should be able to just enjoy each other and enjoy life and not be convicted by that. Because that's what causes people, and it's not God convicting us, it's the church. Oh. It's the people in the church. It's not even coming from the Father, and it's not coming from the Word. It's the people in the church that causes us to be convicted most times. You know, you hear all the time, you know, I know when I was growing up, you know, we couldn't wear pants, we couldn't wear earrings, we couldn't go to the movies, and this was their definition of salvation, and they used to teach us that this would be the way that people will know that you are saved, but the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit,
yeah,
right? And so all along in my young years, I was focused on making sure my skirt was long and that I wasn't going into the movies and that I wasn't wearing earrings, but I wasn't really focused on what the Word says, developing those fruits of the Spirit so that through the fruit, people will know that I am His, right? The Bible says that a good tree can't bear bad fruit and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to know much about me. The fruit is going to tell the story.
Fruit is
going to tell the story, yep, about the relationship that you have with the Father. Not where I'm going. Not if I'm wearing skirts down to my ankle and not going to the movies. It's the fruit of the Spirit operating through me is going to tell you where I am as far as relationships. So we allow people to bring us to a place of conviction when it has nothing to do with the Father or His Word.
Cool. Thank you for saying that. Reminds me of you know, the passage that says having a form of godliness but denying, yes, the power thereof. Mm-hmm. It's all a performance.
Yep, that's, oh, it. Wow. That's what it is, and it's a performance so that other people can view us, you know, on this level of spirituality. But then behind closed doors, we don't live the life that we're trying to portray to other people, and that thing it creeps in our relationships, it creeps in our marriages, you know. Because we're trying to be one thing, and then, you know, because we are not allowing ourselves to have balance, you know, then it crosses over into our relationships, and our relationships become, you know, begins to become chaotic because, you know, we're so focused on how man should see us instead of focusing on our mate and, you know, what pleases them. So, yeah.
That was a great point. I'm so glad that we're having this conversation, Pastor Gaines, because oh, excuse me.
No problem.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I had a cough attack. But I was saying that, ooh, excuse me, that I'm glad we're having the conversation because you're mentioning some things that I think many women, not just myself, so many of us need to hear. Usually I'm like talking more. But today I'm finding myself like, sis, be quiet and listen. Pastor Gaines is saying a word here. But I think these are the things that I think we need to be taught these things, not just when our parents or the church or, you know, whoever raises us thinks that, okay, now you're old enough to talk about men and boys.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so detrimental because you go through life in a long period of your life being told stay away from these things. Mm-hmm. Boys, books before boys, you know, boys bring babies, and then you're expected to just go out there and come back with a good choice of a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one way we derail purpose, because, you know, while raising kids, like, you know, I'm raising my daughter, my son, part of it is, you know, also trying to see what are the things that come naturally to them and what does it look like their purpose is, and, you know, to begin to point them in that direction, but also have these conversations.
Yeah, I, you know, like I said, I grew up in a very strict organization and under really strict rules. And I did not date. I think I had my first date with a male at the age of like 23 or something like that, 21 or something. You know, we wasn't even allowed to date. We wasn't allowed to be in the company of the opposite sex. Talks about sex and things like that was taboo. Like, you couldn't talk about that in the church that I was raised in. So it was just like we were left to kind of figure things out on our own. And I'm telling you, I made many mistakes because I was not knowledgeable, because no one took the time to really explain to me, you know, my role as a woman, my feelings, puberty, all of that stuff. You know, I didn't learn anything about that. I just kind of, you know, learned on my own through TV and things like that, you know. And when I had my daughter out of wedlock. And I believe that probably could have even been avoided if I was, you know, kind of taught properly. And I'm not trying to make, you know, the decisions that I made anybody else's fault. But I believe that some of the decisions that I did make as a young woman, you know, trying to walk, you know, in salvation, I probably would have went a different way if we had these conversations. So I remember, you know, as my daughter was coming up, I made sure I had those conversations with her. I had those conversations with her, you know, and I would just say this as single women who are raising children, because one of the things I asked God is, how am I going to teach my daughter to be celibate? And I had a baby out of wedlock. How am I going to do that? And one of the things that the father began to share with me, he said, you just got to be honest. You got to be honest about how you got to this place. And then you just got to teach her. And so I was very intentional with my daughter, with a lot of things, with raising her up so that she would not be ignorant who she is as a young lady, ignorant to her body, her feelings, you know, all those things, because I wanted her to go into her experiences in life with some sort of knowledge of, you know, who she is and, you know, some of the feelings that she would have. So that's very key. When we're raising daughters, and, you know, to those of us who did make mistakes and did, you know, there's some errors in our life that, you know, that we're not proud of, but, you know, we gotta talk about it, and we gotta discuss how we got there so that we can help someone else prevent it.
That's so important. And it really does tie into our conversation, avoiding drama, mm-hmm. pursuing purpose. Because if we really did have the information that, you know, it's not just because the Bible says, you know, sex before marriage is a sin, but why does it say that? You know, mm-hmm. God wasn't trying to deny anybody anything, but he was trying to protect us. And if that lesson had gone forward in a different way, and not just one of, you know, condemning you, because as we grow, and even like as being a single woman, right, mm-hmm. your body does things, your body, you know, wants things, you know. And so if all I told myself is, well, the Bible says so, after some time, well, the Bible says, you know, don't be stealing, don't be lying, and people do those things anyway. So why am I, you know, denying myself this? It becomes easy to justify doing what you want to do. But when we really look into the implications and what was the reason behind it, it's not even worth the risk. It's not worth the risk. Like, listen, nope. And, you know, and this is a conversation, like, you know, I love having conversations with, you know, with women, and we get into those nitty gritty, uncomfortable conversations. And so in one of the talks we were having, then one woman was like, I don't have that problem because I take care of myself. And she was going on about her toys. And I was like, okay, but that doesn't mean that you don't face spiritual implications. But that's a conversation they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to have, but we had to have it.
You got to have,
you know,
it.
You're still having, you're still creating a door. You're still giving the enemy legal access to you. And, you know, then people say, well, you're being overly spiritual, but you want to be spiritual about the wrong things.
Right. And let's talk about drama. Drama is birthed from, we think a lot of times that is external, but it's really internal. The drama comes from what we have not dealt with on the inside of us. You know, I can just remember some relationships that I was in that brought a lot of drama. And the drama came because there was some insecurities that I wasn't dealing with. There was some deception that I was, you know, that I was operating in. So when you brought up the subject about, you know, some women dealing with, you know, using toys and things of that nature, you know, I had to learn as a single woman. I remember I would always have the feelings of wanting to have sex at a certain time, you know, within the month. And it took me a while to figure out that every time before my menstrual, I would be at my height, and it would be like, oh my God, you know. And but before then, before I really really took the time to really examine what was going on within me, you know, that would be the time that I would, you know, would you know, fornicate, or, you know, just do stuff that I wasn't supposed to do. But once I realized, okay, this is the time, around the time in the month that it starts to bother me. And you know, those who are believers, you know, you know, as singles, and I'm not even going to say single women, but singles period, you know, you go through that. If we just be honest, you go through that time where you on the mountain, you okay, you got control, you know, you're not thinking about doing anything out of the will of God, but then you have that time that you're kind of at your low place, and you got to be able to tap into what brings you to that low place. And if you don't tap into that, then that's when the drama comes. And so once I began to tap in and understand my body and understand what was going on with me, then I knew how to battle it in prayer. I knew what to do. I knew how to battle it in prayer, and both naturally. Prayer, spiritually, I'm going to say, and naturally. Okay. You know, because we can pray and we can read our word. And, you know, and we can ask God to remove the drama from our life and, you know, whatever. But then in the natural, we're still opening up those doors, and we're allowing ourselves to go in those open doors that will cause us, that will bring us to a place of drama in our relationships and you know, within ourselves. And so I knew how to deal with it once I tapped in, both naturally and spiritually. And then I began to, you know, be successful in getting through those seasons in my life.
Thank you for that. You know, it's like kind of like getting to the meat of something, you know, because the church gives us the milk when it comes to that, and talk about go have a cold shower. Don't nobody cold shower. Okay. Like, listen, I'm gonna have a cold shower and still have the same feelings. What are you talking about?
Absolutely.
You know what was so, and I thank you so much for bringing that, you know, that type of drama up. You know what was so weird is like I'll always, you know, just get that, you gotta go on a fast. And I'm like, why am I fasting now? And it was after some time when I'm like, oh wow, because it's when I'm about to go through that phase that you just mentioned,
Yes,
you know,
yes.
within the cycle that, you know, you begin to have these urges and these
These
desires. And
feelings.
I would just get the prompting like, oh sis, you're going on a fast. And I'm like, okay, fine, cool. But then
Yes,
when I
yes.
figured it out, I was like, you are so good to me, God. You give me a way of escape, you know, because your mind is not even focused on that. And you know, that helped me. And so, you know, even just like you're saying, really like dealing with it in the realm of the spirit and understanding like this is, you know, it's serious. And you know,
Yes.
we don't just want to show up and act like, hey, I'm okay, but I've got this secret sin. And it's not to say that we're perfect, you know, and I'm not just talking about this one particular thing, because then some people think, oh, you're so self-righteous, but it's not even that. But it's, you know, it's just having that conversation that says, like, listen, I go through it too, but this is how I
Absolutely.
deal with it.
Absolutely. And
Oh, good.
we cannot, like I said, we have to help our young sisters that are younger than us. You know, I'm older than you, so and you could speak to somebody that's younger than you. You know, we got to help each other out, and we cannot be afraid to expose our mistakes, and we cannot be afraid to tell people about drama that we've had within ourselves, drama that we've had in relationships. I remember, because when you talk about the drama, I'm like, whoo, I could talk about that, because I remember, saved in the church, but I did not deal with the insecurity. So I found myself dating people that brought the drama. I remember, I was involved with a man who he was an alcoholic. When I look back on it, I said, Roz, why in the world would you deal with somebody you know better? But that's because I wasn't dealing with what was going on the inside of me. And so here I was, considering being with somebody, and I'm not, passing judgment on people who have struggles with alcoholism, but I knew that that wasn't a portion for me, who God had for me. But because I was dealing with loneliness, insecurity, rejection, all these things that I didn't deal with, that I tried to mask with relationships that, that was not who the Father had chose for me, but it brought a lot of drama to my life. And so, we have to think about that too. And like I said, sometimes we'd be like, oh, that person caused so much drama, when it really wasn't that person. It really stemmed, it came from you. And you allowed
Oh.
that person, and you opened up that door because you didn't deal with what was going on in you.
Oh, you're putting us on blast.
Come on here.
You
We got
know,
to deal with the stuff.
and when we're still really immature, and I'm now, this is personal experience, right? This is transparency. When I, you know, when you're still immature, what can be what is really drama? We're looking at it as excitement. Like, nah, I can fix this, you know. I can make it better. Or you know what? It looks like fun anyway, so I'm just gonna go ahead. But then once you're in the midst of it and you recognize, because I think, you know, God knows us. Well, of course he knows us, right? And he knows what's on the inside of us. So sometimes he's like, okay, carry on. You want to play with it? Go ahead. Go involve yourself. But
Yes.
because the way you are and he has fashioned you, you're not going to last there. You're going to start feeling uncomfortable. And then we
Absolutely.
start praying for ways of escape. Meanwhile, he said it in the beginning, don't involve yourself in this. And now you're here, get me out of this mess.
One of the things that I think that has tripped a lot of us up, in our dating season, is not listening to the warning signs, because we get the warning signs. The Father does speak to us, and a lot of the places that we find ourselves in is it's from a standpoint of disobedience. And but the fortunate thing about it all is that, you know, the Father loves us so much that even in our disobedience, you know, he just go ahead and pulls us out. And, you know, and here's where grace and mercy just steps in. Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life.
Amen.
And, and so he just pulls us out. But we get the warning signs. You know, we get the warning signs. You know, Father, he talks to us.
He sure does. You know, I think what I've been calling some of what we do or what happens in these dating streets is missional dating. You are going in the dating field on a whole mission trip. Go find somebody. Okay, I like him. He fits my bill. He fits my list. I'm going to take him to church now so God can save him. Like, that's not how evangelism works.
And I always tell people, you know, when it comes down to evangelizing to people, you know, that we love, our close, our family, our, you know, our friends and stuff like that, and even people that we're interested in, you know, we got to live the life before them. And if we are in a relationship with somebody that we, you know, that's not quite giving their life over to God yet, if you're gonna go that route, you're gonna have to really live the life before them, and that's the only way you're gonna win them. Because I'm telling you, you can preach and you can teach that word, and you can worship until the heavens come down, but if your life don't line up to what you're saying to them, you're not gonna win them. And so we got to know that in relationships. If you have a young man or young woman that you're interested in, and they are not saved and they are not, you know, have given their life over to Christ, I would advise you not to get into a relationship with them until, you know, you get the go ahead from the Father as far as this person, you know, really grounded in their relationship with God. Because if you slip or if you do anything that's, you know, out of his will, yeah, you're going to lose your witness. You're going to lose your witness. So, you know, just be mindful of that.
I love how you put it. You know, it was very, you know, you expressed it very well about, you know, living your witness.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how, you know, I think so many people entertain way too much unnecessary drama, thinking that, oh, I'll convert this Muslim over into Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, continuing then themselves having to be the one to, you know, renounce their Christianity and their relationship mm-hmm. with Christ to maintain this relationship, which, you know, oftentimes is so far advanced that they feel like, you know, maybe it's even that form of self-condemnation that they can't even leave that thing anymore. Well, mm-hmm. you know, it's been 10 years we've been together and I've invested this much of my life. I might as well stay here. And so now you've just put your whole purpose and your, more than your purpose, your relationship with God to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, mm-hmm. you know, we can take a look at being unequally yoked, but unequally yoked is not just with your spouse, but even our friendships, because some of our girlfriends don't mean us any well.
Now you teaching ministering to me right now. Ooh, girl, don't get me started on the friendship.
You know, sometimes when you're really in that solid relationship, even a godly relationship, and you see in some other women, you know, they don't have it and they don't understand it.
Yeah,
it becomes difficult. To, mm-hmm. you know, it becomes difficult for them to understand, well, why do you submit to your husband like that? Because to the world, submission is a dirty thing. It's like, mm-hmm. I'll never do that. But like, we're not submitting to the man per se, but this is out of obedience to God, number one. And so because, you know, I'm going to walk according to what he says, this is what I'm doing. Well, girl, it couldn't be me. It couldn't be me. And, you know,
listen, this is the simple scripture that we always quote this scripture. He who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I'm going to stop there. A good thing.
But for
he
us,
who findeth a wife findeth a good thing.
Pastor Roz.
Yes.
But we'd be acting any kind of way, calling ourselves a good thing.
Okay, but are we really preparing to be the good thing?
Well, Pastor Roz, I need you to tell me so I can take some notes. Maybe, you know, he'll come here next week. I'll be like, I'm getting married. How do I become a good thing? I'm tired of being single.
Yes, and I have a lot of girlfriends who are single, beautiful women like you, who are tired of being single. But see, that's what you say. Your topic is, you know, that we need to focus on purpose. What's the name of the topic again?
Avoiding drama and pursuing purpose.
So, you know, one of the ways that we become that good thing, because there's a process in us becoming that good thing. We're not just born the good thing. There's a process. And so in that process, we have to be focused on progressing, focusing on the purpose that the Father has called. This is how, when we talk about the woman, why can't I think of her name? It just dropped out of my spirit. I'm so sorry, this is the podcast, but I'm just going to slip over there. It'll come back to me. But we have to, in order for us to be that good thing, it's a process. It's a process. The Proverbs woman that we speak about all the time, how, you know, talks about, you know, how she was as a wife. This woman was not caught up in drama. She was very intentional in everything that she did. And this is what, because she had a purpose. She had a purpose. She had a destiny. She had an intentional plan of being a wife to this man. And so we have to be the same way. We have to be intentional in our preparation to be that good thing. And I think we take that that word, you know, that scripture kind of really lightly, like, he that findeth, I'm a good thing, and we think we're a good thing because, you know, our makeup is done and our hair is done, and, you know, we wearing, you know, fabulous clothes. I'm a good thing, you know, because, you know, your career is on point and you got all these degrees. That's what's not that's the extra.
That's the drama. That's
the good thing that the Father is talking about. Mm-hmm. And then he says that the man will, once he finds the good thing, scripture says that the man will obtain favor from the Lord. Well, so we having issues here. We having women who don't understand what it means to be a good thing. And then we have men that don't know how to handle the favor once they get it.
Ooh. Pastor, can I ask you a question?
You sure can.
When you having this class?
I'm going to do a class on that. I am going to do one, just on this whole relationship thing, because it's just a lot. It's a lot that needs to be discussed. And that's one of the things, because we have, you know, even in marriage, we have men who have found a good thing and but they can't handle the favor. The favors start coming in and they start getting crazy. They start, you know, the arrogance hit in, you talk about it all the time, narcissistic mindsets, and it's developed because God's trying to release the favor. He's trying to fulfill the word, and you getting big headed. And you forgetting that the reason why you have the favor is because you found the good thing, but you want to handle the good thing bad. Oh, girl, I done went off topic.
No, you did not.
I done went off topic.
Nope. You know, got
me in here rocking, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, I need you to rock, because like this needs to be told. It needs to be told, you know, so many times, you know, and I'm not saying we're not supposed to take care of ourselves, but it comes down to things like self-love, and I'm going out to brunch and I'm relaxing, so mm-hmm, I'm not all uptight, mm-hmm. and my makeup is on point, my eyebrows on fleek, my hair's, you know, I got the good lace front. You see, I paid $800, you know, and my credit score is the, yeah, but you know, and then people take being a good person, right? I'm a mm-hmm. good person, but being a good person is nothing that we should be putting on a totem pole. It's really, I think I've said this before, that I think it's basic. It's, you know, it's the starting point. We're all supposed to be good people, but you know, you find people talking about, well, I'm a good woman because I bring these things to the table. You know, that conversation, I bring my degrees in my 36, 28, 36. That doesn't make you a good thing. What's on the inside?
Yes. Listen, the Bible says, let's talk about the Proverbs 31 woman. In the scripture, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is as far above rubies. Now, when we look up the definition of virtue, I just pulled it up just now. It's saying having or showing high moral standards. Okay, so it doesn't have anything to do. And anybody who knows me, you know me, Joy. Like I take pride in the way I look. You know, I believe in, you know, I like to wear makeup. I wear the lashes. I love fashion. You know, I love it all. But I know for a fact that that's not who makes me, what makes me, I should say, a virtuous woman. It's what's on the inside of me. It's my standards, my relationship with the Father. That's what causes me to be the good thing. That's what causes me to be the virtuous woman that's found. That's what makes my price above rubies, you know? And because this woman had high standards, this woman right here, this is a scripture that I think every woman, this story, every woman should study, because this woman wasn't about the drama. She was about purpose. She was on it. She was focused. She knew her assignment. She knew what she was supposed to be doing. And she did it. And so, and her place and her posture made her husband's name great. And so we got to know who we are as women. And we got to know that it's not in the hair. It's not in the makeup, because all that's going to fade away. Because, you know, we'll meet him when we're 21 and we'll be married to him till we're 80. And we're not going to look like we're 21 when we're 80. Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah. It's going to be more than that. That's going to make this thing work. And so, you know, I want to teach about that. I want to teach about preparing to be that good thing. But then I also want to, you know, have a conversation with the men. It's like, how do you handle the favor? When God releases you the favor after you found the good thing, can you handle it?
Pastor Roz, and that's why I believe, like, if we're really serious about our, you know, our relationship with God and ourselves, our lives, and, you know, just taking into consideration that you only have one life, you know, there's no practice run after this. Yes. And you tell yourself that, listen, I want to get it right. I think that's why we need to learn how to pace ourselves, not only pace ourselves, but really do that internal work, that processing that lets you know, who am I? So many people are so concerned and know everything about everybody else. Keeping up with the Kardashians, keeping mm-hmm. up with the Jones, what's going mm-hmm. on in the shade room. People know everything. Mm-hmm. But they don't even have their own identity figured out. And yet now we're in a time and a place and, you know, where people think, okay, I'll just line up my chakras or however you say that word, or I'm just going to burn this sage and it's going to just bring everything and I'm going to be at one and at peace and it's going to be Zen, and think that's where their mm-hmm. identity mm-hmm. and, you know, things that support what they think or, you know, what they believe is what makes them them. But your identity is never outside of God.
Never.
And so the way this woman of Proverbs 31, I feel, came to be is because she knew who she was in God. There's no way. I think this is one of the things that helped me so much when I was like, you know, dealing with a breakup and, you know, divorce and all of that. Mm-hmm. And who am I, God? I have no clue, because I jumped into this relationship, into this marriage, thinking that I knew who I was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even on a superficial level, I acted like I knew, but really I knew that I didn't know. But, you know, we would just figure it out together. Mm-hmm. But there's no such thing. And so it's sitting down and getting to know God. And as you get to know God, he kind of holds up a mirror and says, okay, now look at who you are.
Yes.
And once you understand who you are, then your boundaries fall into place, because they're not boundaries that anybody has to give you, but you've seen who God is and you know who he is. And so now you're like, okay, so I'm really made in your image and in your likeness. Mm-hmm. And you tell me I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So I'm going to walk in the consciousness of that. So I'm not going to look to anybody outside of me, but between me and you, Father, I'm going to have these temple boundaries, because we must understand that our body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. So now mm-hmm. once we have these temple boundaries, our standards elevate naturally. But you mm-hmm. know, Pastor Oz, everywhere we go, everywhere, you know, we look on, and I'm just, you know, generalizing here a little bit, but there's so many platforms and so many voices that tell us, women, lower your standards. That's why you are still single. Nobody is going to want you with all of that you're trying to ask for in a, you know, from a man. But, you know, I think we have to remember, we're not waiting for just anybody.
That's right. That's right. Michelle Obama said something really powerful in her book. She said, and I know a lot of people, kind of judged her on what she said, but what she said made a lot of sense. And I'm speaking from a natural standpoint. She said, marry someone that is on your level. People are like, wow, what does she mean by that? That's arrogant. That's, you know, why would she say something like that? But what she said made a lot of sense to me, because sometimes when you marry beneath your standards, or you know, you settle, mm-hmm. it comes to bite you in the end. You know, so you have to, and this is where the Father gives us choices. So you have to know what you are capable of dealing with, living with. You got to know those things. You were saying earlier about, you know, knowing that we are created in God's image, and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we need to, you know, be able to identify what, you know, who, you know, God has created us to be. But then on the opposite of that, you have to be honest with who you presently are. You understand? And so sometimes you got to write that list down and say, Father, this is what scripture says that I am, but this is me right now. I'm a liar. I cheat.
Yep.
You know, we got to be honest about, you know, I have low self-esteem. We got to be honest about who we are, so that, you know, we can, the Father can start the healing process and bring us to that place of where of how he originally planned us to be, which was in his image. And so, I think a lot of deception happens when we're not honest about who we are at the present time, and you know, and you know, what we're willing to deal with and what we're not willing to deal with. We got to be honest so that the Father can begin to fix those things, heal those things, you know, and correct those things in us. And sometimes you got to write it down. You got to write it down. You just can't just think in your head. You got to write it down so you can see it and so you can look at it. You know.
Oh, that was so good. You know, we do have to acknowledge those things, because, you know, like working with people and having that conversation about, you know, narcissistic abuse, a lot of the times, you know, when people just want to identify as the victim, you know, yes. Or some people don't even like being called a victim, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have people on the outside saying, well, enough of being the victim. But in order for a person to transition from victim to victor, you got to acknowledge where you are.
Yes, you do.
It doesn't just happen, you know, overnight. It really is a process. And so going back and, you know, to what you were saying about being honest with yourself and really just identifying your truth to, with God and saying, I'm these things, I do those things. That's when we begin to walk in that process of pruning, of sanctification, where he begins to change us. And if we're not acknowledging it, acknowledgement is always the first step. Just because, you know, and it's so hard. It's so hard when he begins to shine that light on your heart and you begin to see these things about yourself like this. And I remember being like, I'm like that? No. And then I was like, oops, you better be quiet so you can learn and grow.
Yes.
It's difficult seeing these things about ourselves, but you got to ask yourself, like, are you going to be married to your past or are you going to put, you know, put some significance on where he wants to take you?
My God, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Like, I don't even know what to say now. You know, I feel like I've learned so much from you today, avoiding drama and pursuing purpose.
Yes. Oh. Stay focused. Stay focused to purpose. And you know, staying focused to purpose doesn't always mean that you are busy doing and producing. Sometimes it's you settling in a quiet place and allowing the Father to work on you. It doesn't, because, you know, when we hear the word purpose, we think of producing, you know, fulfilling. But, you know, in that process of purpose, sometimes the Lord will have us in a still place where he begins to show us who we are and the things that we need to come in alignment before he gets us to that completed place a purpose. And so don't be afraid of the quiet moments. I would tell, you know, a lot of my sisters, like, don't be afraid of that time where the Father deals with you. That's fulfilling purpose too. That's fulfilling purpose too. That time that you allow him to work on you. You know, Father, I have a bad temper. You know, you don't want to go into a marriage and into a relationship with a bad temper, because then you might find yourself in an orange suit, you know, when things get rough. So you got to deal with that before you come to that place of, you know, the relationship that the Father has for you. So you gotta embrace even that time that the Father works on you. And the main thing I always tell people, don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Be honest. You know, it's okay. Sometimes it's hard to look. Like I said, sometimes you got to write it down. You might look at it with one eye open, you know, kind of peeking at it, but it's there in black and white, and you see it. And when you see it, you begin to realize, you know, what's really going on with you. Sometimes it takes some of us to do it that way. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Pastor Rosalind, thank you so much. Like, you have shared so much. I'm going to have to ask you to come back again, because this has been fantastic. And I mean, like, these are the things that, you know, women need to talk about, whether you are married or whether you are, you know, still in your waiting season. As women, we can learn so much from each other. And, you know, as, you know, to help you grow as a woman, because some married women will say, well, I can't learn nothing from a single woman, but you can learn our experience.
Not true.
You can learn what we're going through so that you can talk to your daughters, so that you can talk to other single women. So maybe you can say, oh, you know what? I could have done something different. I don't know. But some women just like, nah, I can't listen to you. You're single. You can't tell me nothing. Okay. Okay, sis.
That is not true. Before we end, I just want to say that is not true. Listen, iron sharpens iron, and we can always learn from each other. You can teach me how to, and it might be that you've never been married, but you can teach me how to be graceful in my speech. You can teach me, you know, you could teach me how to do something simple as how to fold a sheet properly. So, you know, there's always something that we can learn from each other. And, you know, that's another thing in the church, that we got to just tear that thing down. And Father, I pray you burn it up by fire. Okay. I'm getting ready to go into intercession.
Amen.
but I pray you burn this up by fire, because a lot of times, you know, you even hear people say, you can't pray for me. If I'm a bishop and you're not a bishop, you can't pray for me. You can't release the word of the Lord. Listen, that's man-made stuff. That is not from the Father, and that is not supported by the word of God. You know, so because he said in the last day, he's going to pour out of his spirit among all flesh. So it might be you. It might be you that will be the one that will minister. It might be you that might be the one that will release the word of the Lord that will free that married woman, and you're still single. So, you know, let's just do away with that mindset. You know, we can learn from each other. I can learn from my daughter. And I birthed her. She came out of me, but I can learn from her, you know, and we can learn from, you know, people that's not nowhere near our age. So, you know, as long as we keep an open mind to receive from whoever the Father desires to minister to us, whomever, you know, then we will always be in a position to learn and to grow. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and, you know, everything that you have shared. You are a whole asset. You are a gem, Pastor Rosalind. I hope that you know this. Mm-hmm. And before we do end, how can our listeners get in contact with you?
My email address is rosalindgaines@gmail.com. You can reach out to me on social media. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm in Clubhouse. I do a teaching once a month now on Tuesdays the Lord. I used to do it 12 in the afternoon, but now I do it from 6 p.m. until the Lord, you know, releases us to go. And I touch on topics like this relationship, looking into yourself and you know, self-acceptance. That's another thing. That's a whole nother topic. But self-acceptance, self-esteem, things of that nature. I talk about those things. And so you can, you know, reach out to me on Clubhouse. I will be doing something real soon on relationships. I'm just trying to get it together. I plan on doing a Zoom class, and I also plan on doing a conference coming up, because you know, just a lot of people are looking for just guidance in that area, and I'm so glad that we're in a place that we can talk about it now. So those are the ways that you can reach me, and I would be, you know, you can inbox me, and I will definitely reach back out to you.
Thank you so much. I'll be sure to include your links in the show notes to make it easier for people to reach out and connect with you. I mean, you've taught us so much today. So I want to thank you, everybody, for taking time out of your day to listen and participate in this conversation. Until our next episode, God bless you and continue to pursue your most significant state. Goodbye.